Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to Calypso Cigar Review Podcast. I am Brandon Luna.
I'm Randy Rankin.
And today we are at not the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge. Where are we, Randy?
We are at Enfuego in Rockwall, Texas, one of my favorite stores.
Yeah, it's a great store. Great
and,
store.
Thank you to Lee for letting us do this.
And if you haven't been to Rockwall and if you're in the Dallas area, come check it out. It's a really nice area. It's really beautiful. When you cross that bridge, it's like you're almost going into Italy or something. There's like buildings on the side.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And it's got really a beautiful pretty. Lake. And, yeah. They do concerts on the lake, and they let you smoke cigars at the
what?
Concerts. It's awesome. Yes.
What?
Yeah, the first time I ever went in the store, I went to a concert on the lake, and I thought, oh, shit, there's a cigar store. Let's go get a cigar. That
no
was my
shit.
First trip. My
you
first
can actually
trip
smoke somewhere.
Exactly.
That's
go
crazy.
Figure.
That's
exactly.
crazy.
Go figure.
So today we're doing something that Lee actually gave us. It's the Perdomo Small Batch 2005.
Yes. We haven't done a Perdomo
Lee.
In a long time.
We haven't.
Time.
It's been a long time. So this uses some 10-year-old tobaccos. All Nicaraguan. Nicaraguan sun-grown, Nicaraguan binder and filler, so it's a Puro. Mm-hmm. And it's got a really cool... I love the Perdomo band, man. The Perdomo band is
Perdomo's
beautiful.
Great. They do
and
good
it's
stuff.
It's got that cool small batch, makes it look all exclusive and cool, which everybody loves. So mm-hmm. you got the two-band going on. So for the two-band snobs, this is one you'd want to try.
Yes.
And this is inexpensive. It's a $5 smoke.
Yeah.
Not, can't go wrong.
I'm looking forward to this. This
yeah,
we're
looking at like a... I guess
it's a short Bellicoso.
Short Bellicoso. There you
yes.
go. So yeah, this is new for us. And we always
yeah.
like new.
$4.99.
$4.99, you
wow.
can't beat it. And the cold draw on this.
I haven't done the cold draw.
It's really, it's got some sweetness to it. It's almost mm-hmm. like a.
And it's funny, we weren't going to be reviewing cigars anymore, and yet
yeah,
that's
we're
all
still
we've done.
Well, when someone gives us cigars, I think, you know.
If we're giving a cigar, we're going to review
yeah,
it.
We got Nat Sherman next week. The rep's coming in. He's going to give us cigars.
Cool.
We'll review
we'll
that.
Work, yeah.
But then when we're on our own, it's just going to be like, you know, guy talk.
Right,
so
exactly.
It'll be a little change in the format, but it's still going to be the same show. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, it's very nice cold draw.
Tasty. So I'm lighting with my I don't
lighter.
Know what the hell this is. Lighter that I got, yeah.
Is that the one that so-and-so got?
The van, yeah.
Yeah, van gave
yeah.
me.
Yeah, very, very cool van to hook me up. He saw my crappy old lighter that I've had forever.
Yeah. And Van's in at Cigar Emporium in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, great shop. He's got a lot of really good cigars in there.
For as small a store as he is, he's got a great humidor.
He does. Really does. Yeah, he does. He has a lot of variety.
It's very
there.
Similar to Matt as far as his humidor. His humidor's tiny, but it has an incredible selection.
And he also has, you know, the cabinets outside, and he's got
mm-hmm.
some, you know, more expensive stuff
yeah.
in those cabinets. It's
yeah.
hot.
Dead air.
Going a little Pink Panther there.
I saw that. I noticed that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I wanted to acknowledge it, but I noticed it.
Yeah. That's what I could come up with when we're doing that. That's what I do. It's my skill set.
Yes.
Reach
because
the
as we just were talking about, you're Mexican, so you suck at basketball.
I do suck at basketball, and most
yes.
Mexicans do suck at basketball.
Although the Mavericks do have a player, J.J. Barea, who helped him win the championship a few years ago.
Is he really Mexican?
I don't remember, and he might not even be. I just thought about
he's
it. He might be Spain.
Puerto Rican
he might be Spain.
Or,
I think he
I
might be
know.
From
yeah.
But, but at one point, he had a hot girlfriend. I don't know if his girlfriend's
he's hooves. Still of the brown variety, so we'll give it to him. We'll give it to him.
There you go. So he's still Mexican.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
He's Spanish.
He's Latin.
Well, there you go, Latin. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
I don't even know the word.
Yeah, I know. And I know more Spanish than you do, too.
I know the bad words, and I know enchilada and burrito and stuff like that. That's about
the
extent of what I
know. You know the food. You could say the food.
But surprisingly, when I was in the Dominican Republic, I picked up quite a bit, and I was speaking it, and I had no idea where the hell it came from. It might have just been some primordial ooze coming up or something, or the amount of alcohol that was in me.
That could have
had
a lot to do with
it. Like high school was unlocked, and I was throwing out shit, and... Abe was like, damn, you know Spanish? I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't know Spanish. I don't know where that's coming from. Just ignore me.
Well,
I probably said my pants are on fire or something. I have no idea what I just said.
And I know I've told it, but I'm going to tell
Pantalones
it again.
Pantalones en fumo.
Not everybody listens to every show, so we can repeat stories. But
yeah,
I used to be an apartment manager. So all my maintenance people, stereotype, I know, but still they were 95% of them were Mexican.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn Spanish. That's what Spanish I know. Now, I can't speak it, but you can talk to me and I'll understand everything you're saying.
You'll do this.
But if you want me to say it back to you, I have no idea. I don't know how to speak
yeah.
it, really. But I can understand it really well.
Yeah. That's the joy of Google Translate.
Exactly.
I used
exactly.
that a lot when I was
yeah.
over there.
Yeah.
Translate a lot of things. And then they'll look at you weird like, what? And I'm like, all right, maybe I'm speaking slang. I don't know.
Punta, what does that mean? I don't understand.
Yeah. It sounds nasty. It sounds like I'm going to get laid. Is that what it is? Like, no, it's where the beach is. Like, shit.
Damn it.
Well, you get laid at the beach, right? I don't know.
Yeah, they have a drink called Sex on the Beach, so there you go. So obviously it happens. Never happened to me, but apparently it does happen in the world.
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly. It happened to me. Spring
break. You had sex on a beach?
Spring break, 89. Yes, it did happen.
Damn it.
Yeah.
That sucks in a pool. Does that count?
Well,
it's not a fancy drink. You can't call
it.
You can't sex in a pool.
It should be a sex in a pool. Exactly. Sex in a jacuzzi. Something like that.
Right. Jeez.
You have to shake it when you serve it.
This sucks.
So what do you think so far?
So
it's
far,
a,
nice.
It's nice morning smoke, pretty mild. It's got a lot of nice flavor to it.
Great coffee smell, I would imagine.
A little bit of spice to it.
Yeah. Got great waftage.
Yes.
Which is a term that doesn't exist, and Todd Vance told us it did.
Yes.
And we've used it on every show, and yet the term doesn't exist.
Well, we're making it exist.
Yeah, we're making it.
It's one of the things we're bringing
creating
to the table.
It. We're creating
It's our version of, what's that word that you keep saying to him from the ticket?
Oh, regonk.
Yeah.
It's our regonk.
It's our regonk.
Lee's going to be happy we worked regonk into the show.
We try and please.
Yes, we do. This is, seriously, I love every shop I go into. I do, because it's fun, because every shop has its own character, and that's what's cool about our job. But this shop is great. I really love this shop. I don't get to come here as often as I'd like once every 4 or 5 weeks, but I still love coming out here. It's great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it is. It's very
big
nice.
Big humidor. I wish we could show how big their humidor is.
Their humidor is, yeah.
It's L-shaped. It's got five shelves all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a great selection here.
Would you say this is the biggest of the three? Because they do have three shops. They have this
know.
One. They
I
have
Murphy.
Frisco's probably wider, but doesn't have as much space for cigars.
And Murphy's probably about
Murphy's
the size.
Murphy's about the size of this,
like,
I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's probably about the size of this.
Yeah, so they have three shops. Murphy, Texas, Frisco, Texas, which is where you live.
Mm-hmm. That's my shop. That's
and
a shop
then,
I go to a lot.
Rockwall.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Frisco's become my home shop just because it's close.
Although you say that all the time, but you're at Calypso.
I'm at Calypso once a week because we do the show.
But you also come up and hang out, too. So
on occasion, if I can.
You probably
hit
Calypso
wife.
At least 5 or 6 times a week.
No.
A month, I mean. Not a week.
A month.
I hit it 5 or 6 times a week.
It's a blind.
It's like
drop kick
3
away.
Miles from my house.
It's stumbly distance, yeah. Sort of.
Yeah, so when I'm drinking, I don't have to walk.
You can, you can take
jump on the bus or whatever, the dart.
Whatever that thing is, what we call it. Uber.
Oh, Uber, yeah.
What did that call it?
I don't remember what you called it. It was stupid.
Oust or something.
Oust, that's what it was.
Oust. Home.
Yeah, I can take Oust home. Jeez.
Have you ever used Uber?
No. But I was
Do
at
you
a
know
store.
Anybody
where
that
I was,
has?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at a store and a guy had an Uber customer show up and bought like 5 boxes of Davidoff or something. It was like $1,000 order or something. So I was like, I'll pay for your Uber. I'm like, I don't blame you. I'd pay for Uber.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah. There was a bunch of them over at Ron's thing at the end of the night when you after you took off. There's a bunch of
And I probably should have done
cars.
That because my hotel was like 3 miles away. I got there so early. I had like a prime parking space.
Oh, yeah?
And Todd's like, where'd you park? I'm like, in the parking lot. Yeah. Really? How'd you get in the parking lot?
I did, too. I got lucky. I drove in. I saw that it was a zoo. There was cops right there with these little buggy things and stuff. And I was like, what are you here for the event? I'm like, yeah. Like, are you a vendor? I was like, I showed my PDR card. They're like, oh, okay, we can go in. I'm like,
nice. That's
so
nice.
I got in and parked right by the shop next to Ron's.
And so we'll mention what Ron's thing was. It's Texas Cigar Festival. It was a big deal. What do you have, like 700, 800 people there?
Yeah, 800 tickets sold.
Live band, free food, open bar. It was a fun
open
event.
Open bar was
next
really
year,
fun,
if you get a chance, he does it in April.
Mm-hmm.
Go to that next year. It's awesome. But you got to buy tickets. He sells out
it
within
sells
an hour.
Out in, 90 seconds is what he said it sold
90
out
90 seconds.
So, yeah. That's
okay,
pretty
pretty
hardcore.
Awesome.
It's like buying tickets to Styx or something. Well, not Styx, but
Styx.
I think Styx would probably have a couple of hours to
Styx.
Okay, buying tickets to Rush. It's like buying tickets to Rush. Apparently, Rush sells out.
Yeah,
like
Rush
that
sells
still.
Out like that. Neil Diamond actually does. You
and
know,
I'm,
he's never
I'm
had
going
a
to see Rush in a couple of weeks.
I'm going to go see Neil Diamond.
Excellent.
Oh shit! No, I'm not. I'm going to be out of town.
Do you have tickets already?
I was going to buy tickets today, actually, and I just realized I'm going to be out of town. Maybe I'm not going to be out of town.
Maybe
I'll do something differently and not be out of town.
my diabetes.
Jeez. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, but Neil Diamond's never had a concert that didn't sell out.
I believe it, man. Neil Diamond's a pimp.
I mean, he's been doing it since the mid '60s. That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty impressive, yeah.
But back to Rush. You know, Rush has never had an album that didn't go gold.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also impressive.
That's also very impressive,
especially for now. I mean, they don't get any radio play anymore, and their albums
they
still
just
sell
that,
like crazy.
I was at a shop in Fort Worth at over Lakeview, Lake Worth, mm-hmm. Lake Worth shop.
Yeah,
and there was a guy
Eddie
there.
Gavito's
was,
brother.
Eddie Gavito's. He's got a brother and another guy that's not his brother. But yeah, so horrible song.
Worst song ever.
Okay. But I was at that shop, and there was a guy there, and we were talking about the concerts and stuff. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to Rush next week." And he's like, "Well, I'm going to Rush tomorrow." I'm like,
What?
They're not here tomorrow. He's like, I'm going to Tulsa. I'm like, why are you going to Tulsa?
When they're
going to
come here.
This guy is like a fanatic. He's seen him like 24 times since the 70s. He's part of the Rush VIP crew, so he gets in like an hour before anybody else can buy tickets, and you put in like, I want best ticket available. Mm-hmm. The best ticket available was in Tulsa. It was VIP, backstage pass, floor seat,
nice.
The whole nine.
That's very cool.
So he opted out for the floor seat because he's like, I can't stand, so I'm going to go. He's like off of the mezzanine, like the first mezzanine, but he still gets backstage and stuff, so that's cool.
That's really cool. Okay, so there's two bands that are very well known that are three people bands. Mm-hmm. And it's Rush and ZZ Top, and they both put out a lot of noise. And I mean it in a good way. I mean, that's a lot of noise for three people to put out, and both bands do a very good job of...
Exactly.
It sounds like the Allman Brothers, which has, like, you know, 84-piece band or something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, yeah. It was like all the brothers, which is like 30 of them.
Well, they got like three drummers and four basses. But, yeah, you get ZZ Top and Rush, three people, and it sounds great.
If you've ever seen Rush, I saw them on their Power Windows tour like back in the 80s, I guess, or early 90s. I don't know what it was exactly. But, you know, it's literally three people on stage, and you hear keyboard and stuff, and you're like, where's the keyboard? Is there somebody behind? It's him with his foot. He's got like a foot pedal that does keyboard. I'm like, are you shitting me?
Yeah, they're crazy.
Like, that's awesome. I mean, that's freaking cool.
Yeah. And Rush is one of those bands that I don't know much of their stuff. Moving Pictures, I had that.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody in the 80s had Moving Pictures.
2112.
And, oh, yeah, 2112. I had that one, too.
Yeah.
What I do know about them is that they just sound great. I mean, and they're one of those distinctive sounds. I can be flipping a station and be like, oh, that's a Rush song.
Yep.
Even though I don't know the song, I can tell it's Rush.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. They're cool. I'm looking forward to that. And actually, my daughter is looking forward to that. And
oh, she's going too?
Yeah, she's 16. She's actually the one that found out they were coming for. She's like, Rush is coming. I'm like, what? She's like, they're coming. I'm like, oh, okay. Well,
that's good parenting.
Yeah, it is good parenting. Yeah.
Where I said, you know, it was good parenting for my mom to take me to see Texas Chainsaw when
I
was four.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that was good parenting.
It was good
And you do good parenting in that your 16-year-old daughter knows who the hell Rush is.
Made her get good grades so she can go. It's like, yeah, I got straight A's for two semesters in a row and, you know, or 2 6-weeks in a row. She's like, okay. So she did it.
Nice.
Now I got to find another concert so she keeps her grades up.
There you go. I don't think Neil Diamond would do it for her, but that's okay. No.
Probably not, no. Maybe Barry Manilow. I don't know.
Maybe. Did you see anything of see The Who? The Who was just here for their 50th tour.
No, because Roger Daltrey can't sing.
Well, that's what I've heard. And I remember at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, he sounded like crap.
Yeah.
But the four people I know that went to the concert said he sounded great.
Oh, so
I don't know. Maybe it's had a good day, and maybe the Super Bowl was a bad day.
Maybe it was just a recording.
Could be.
He's lip-syncing his
own. But you know what's funny about The Who is that, you know, Daltrey's who I always think of. I know Townsend writes everything, and he's a guitar player.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, he's considered the frontman. Pete Townsend is considered the front man for Rush, or for Rush, for The Who.
For The Who? Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
It says Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey.
That's weird.
Weird.
Was it always that way?
That's, I guess.
So I guess Pete Townsend was a bigger deal before they kind of put the band together or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I know Pete Townsend did a lot of solo stuff, and he did really well with it. So.
God. Well, okay. I didn't like the first movie. Was that double feature that Tarantino put out a couple years ago?
No. What, Kill Bill or whatever?
No,
Planet Terror and
it was the Grindhouse
thing.
Death Proof
and Planet Terror.
And in Death Proof, Rosario Dawson is telling a story about this song, and they play it, and it was Pete Townsend with his first band, and I can't remember what the first band was. But so Townsend was in a band before The Who.
Okay. Well,
and they had one hit, you know, or whatever. Or at least one song that Tarantino liked enough to put in that movie.
Yeah. That's like Eric Clapton with, like, how many bands was that guy in before?
Cream.
Before he was Eric Clapton.
Derek and the Dominoes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I heard the Derek and the Dominoes song the other day, and I was like, I thought that was Eric Clapton with
Layla.
Layla. Yeah, exactly. You always equate that with Eddie Clapton.
Eddie Clapton.
Eddie Clapton. Eric Clapton, but it's Derek and the Dominoes.
Derek and the Dominoes.
Who knew?
Yeah.
But the version that's often played, the live one, I think, was his, though, wasn't it?
So, well, the unplugged one?
Yeah, that's the one you hear a lot.
And that's
from just Eric Clapton. But.
Yeah. Or Eddie Clapton.
His lesser known brother. That tours as him and gets in trouble. And like, you ever hear about the Gallagher thing?
Like the Ozzy Canseco thing?
No,
you hear about the Gallagher thing?
No. There's a Gallagher one, too. Okay, so you know Gallagher, the comedian,
right? Yeah.
Well, he has a brother, and he tours as not Gallagher, but he does the exact same shit.
Let's go see not Gallagher.
I saw him at a hotel one. It was like a shitty hotel with a bar in there, and it was like, you know, a big old poster of, it was like little tiny letters, not Gallagher. And I'm like, Gallagher's here?
And that's
what
it said, not Gallagher?
Yeah, it said not Gallagher. And I'm like, he looks a little young to be Gallagher. And I talked to the guy at the bar. He's like, yeah, it's his brother. He tours and does stuff. And he's like, he's probably going to get his ass sued off, but he does the same jokes, the same stuff.
Smashes watermelons and stuff like
the
that.
Whole nine. Wow. Yeah, the whole nine. It was weird.
Crazy.
So I was like, well, how much is this thing? He's like, eh, you buy a couple beers, you get it, see him. I'm like, I'll have a couple beers. So I saw Not Gallagher, and he was actually just as good as Gallagher.
Nice. Well, Jose Canseco, former baseball player, actually played for the Rangers for a couple years. Actually, I've met him several times.
Okay.
Remember several years ago, probably in the early aughts, maybe mid-aughts, they were doing those celebrity boxing matches, like where Danny Bonaduce would fight somebody or whatever. Well, Jose Canseco signed up, and I think he got like $150,000. I mean, it's a lot of money to show up for the celebrity fight. And he sent his twin brother Ozzy instead.
Really?
And his brother Ozzy's not as big. And, he even gave him his driver's license to show that, I'm Jose Canseco. I was like, no, you're not.
So did they get caught?
They got caught.
Wow.
And the promoter sued the hell out of him.
Wow. That's no bueno, man. Yeah. Spanish word that I know, bueno.
One of the few.
And no.
Oh, man. You can't hear this, but my favorite... The title song of my favorite album was playing right now.
What song is that?
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, by Elton
John.
My favorite album. Love that album.
That's a good album, man.
And
was more of a Captain Fantastic and the Dirt Brown Cowboy.
Great album. Great album.
That was mine. When I was a kid, that was the one I gravitated
towards. The artwork on both of those albums covers
is awesome. Amazing. Remember when albums used to have artwork?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go figure.
You know? Remember when they just said it was like really fucking cool artwork on an album?
Did that start
there and stare at it for hours?
Did that start with Sgt. Pepper's, maybe?
I don't know, man. Because before, I mean, you got to think about, like, early Beatles stuff is, like, pictures of them, and that's it.
Yeah.
But then you started getting into, like, this late, like, 60s, when the psychedelic era is really when
it
started.
Well, the White Album was just a white album cover, period. You know?
Yeah. Sgt. Pepper's was one you could stare at forever.
Captain Fantastic, Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Any of those, like, weird, like, obscure bands from the UK, like Budgie and stuff, had really cool covers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's
awesome, yeah.
Yeah, and it was really art. I mean, that's what it was.
It was.
And H.R. Giger probably wouldn't do any of those.
No.
Because he doesn't do
Kenny Chesney doesn't do stuff like that. Katy Perry, she doesn't do anything.
No, I was saying H.R. Giger, the artist.
Oh,
Future Kill.
Wow, that's a nice callback. A reach back around.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
Good job.
So back to Frightmare real quick.
I've watched that William Sadler thing like 9 times. That was such a great. It's one of my favorite interviews I've ever done in my
You're
life.
Like, I touched William Sadler.
He touched me too. He kept reaching, grabbing my shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh, I listened to our last episode, and I'm going to issue an apology right now to William Sadler because I had read that he was a dick, and I mentioned it. He was the furthest thing from it. That guy was as nice and as genuine as any person you'd ever meet in your life. You'd have no idea that guy was a celebrity if you hadn't seen him in anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Just real soft-spoken. He was real, you know, precise with his words. He only said words he needed to say. And we were talking about how you could tell he was classically trained.
Yeah, he could tell he was classically trained actor, absolutely. You know.
He didn't put a thought out there unless... Now, that's probably why we didn't interview Tara Reid, because she's like, I'm going to say everything.
So. But as we said, she was cool, too.
She was very cool, yeah.
We just didn't get to interview her, but she wound up being really cool. Mm-hmm. I've watched that William Sadler interview like 9 times.
Yeah, I sent Lloyd an email saying thanks for letting us go.
That's
cool. He's like, oh, man, great. Thanks for the interviews and stuff. I saw him like right up the same day. It's awesome, because you're the only one who did that. I'm like, that's right.
There you go. Cool.
So that's cool. So we got a next year in with him.
We're
so
good.
I need to do is find out if he does any other promoting stuff and get in with that.
Yeah, we need to get with that one guy. It was Tara Reid's manager.
Yeah.
I have his card. I saw it this morning. And he said, I rep a lot of other acts. If you want him on their show, let me know. So we need to get in touch with him.
We need to do that. Yeah, for sure.
You didn't hear him say that? Yeah.
No.
That's what he was telling me. Because I was the one that asked for the interview, and I got shut down. But he said, I rep for other acts. He said, let me know, and I'll get him on your show. So
that'd
we need
be
to crack
awesome.
Him.
We need to do that. Yeah. Start making those connections for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a break. We're at the end of the first third, basically.
Tasty cigar.
It is very tasty.
But you know, in all honesty, I don't think I've ever had a bad Perdomo.
I can't say I have either, man. Back when I first started smoking cigars again, that Lot 23, I smoked the crap out of it.
Yeah, I did too.
Great cigar.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll be back for the second third in a bit. All right, we're back for the second third of the Perdomo 2005 Small Batch.
Nice tasting cigar.
Mm-hmm.
It's milder, mildish. But not mild boring in a way.
No, it's got some spice to it.
It's got some spice.
Retrohale it, you're going to get a lot more spice through the nose. More of a baker, like a cinnamony kind of spice to
very
it.
Very cinnamony,
not peppery.
And spicy, but nice. I like it. Very good. I've seen this in a bunch of stores. I just haven't tried it yet.
So. Yep. Got some earthy notes to it, a little bit of nuttiness.
Yeah.
Tasty.
And we'll mention that, obviously, this is Calypso Cigar Review, but we are at Enfuego Cigars in Rockwall, Texas.
Yes. And Nick Perdomo.
Yes.
Who hasn't been to this area in a long time.
Right.
Actually coming next week. to all the all Fuego three. Stores. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll give you times in the next segment. But mm-hmm. That's something you certainly want to make yourself available for.
If you've never met the man, he's definitely a legend in the industry, and it's a good thing.
And he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. I've met him.
Definitely a nice guy.
We both met him. Yeah.
Yep. Very cool.
Yeah.
So what else is going on in the world of Randy? What you want to talk about?
Stuff. I don't know. Just
great.
Doing
that's
everything. just doing the thing, man. Just that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You got new shirts, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're Nike.
They're Nike.
That's Nike shirts.
Fancy. That's those have to fancy. Be almost as much as the other ones.
I think Todd said $35 a shirt.
Oh, my God.
So we've got, you know, and you know, I walk in stores like, can I get those shirts? No. They're too expensive. Yeah. Give those out.
Give me 40. I'll give you the one off my back.
Yeah. I only have to wear one. I just wash it every day. I'll be fine. I'll give you the other four.
Yeah, don't do that. No, you will get fired.
I'm joking. I would never do that. No, joking. I never do.
He winked.
No. Offer me an offer. Never mind.
No. So, yeah, Brockwall, like we talked about, is an area that's definitely unique in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Has kind of a European feel to it. There's actually a lot out here, and it's grown a lot.
Yeah.
I was here in Rockwall probably 2 years ago, and half the stuff wasn't here.
Man, I grew up in the Dallas area.
Yeah.
Rockwall was a one-horse town when I was growing up. It's shocking to see how big it's gotten.
Yeah, it's a really nice theater, like walking distance.
I know, man.
Like all these great food places.
Yeah, that's what this area is. We mentioned the lake and the concerts. And by the way, it's a man-made lake, but it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It is a huge.
That's a man-made lake?
It's a man-made lake.
No, I didn't know that.
Huge.
I didn't know that.
Lake Ray Hubbard is the lake.
Okay.
And, man, this is a little cool shopping center. It's very Italy-like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like you said, and I mean, yeah, like there's Mexican food, there's pizza, there's ice cream, there's
mm-hmm.
coffee,
mm-hmm.
and there's a cigar shop.
Yep.
We should check out that cigar shop someday. We're here. Never mind.
Yeah, we've checked it out before.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of pipe tobacco and pipe stuff, if you like pipes.
Yeah.
You know, they
very
got everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
They got the Keurig.
Yep.
For coffee.
They do.
I tell you my Keurig story.
No, go for it.
I know I've never told it on air. So, I don't know, probably 02, 03, I was out of a job, and I got called by an education company, which was the field I was in,
mm-hmm.
and they offered me a job. And then I got a call. This was back when Monster was big. Do you remember Monster?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you put your resume.
People still
drink
Monster,
yeah. I don't know.
I thought you meant the drink, yeah.
No, Monster, your resumes.
Yeah.
So I guess this lady saw my resume on Monster, and she called me, and she was like all excited. And she says, yeah, we're with a new company called Keurig. I really want to talk to you. Your resume looks great and all this kind of stuff. So I'm like, well, what is Keurig? I don't know what that is. And she said, well, it's like you make individual cups of coffee. And I was like, yeah, and what else? Well, no, that's what it is. It's a machine that makes individual cups of coffee, and we sell the coffee with the machine. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, it's great for businesses because, you know, they don't have to make pots of coffee. They can just make each person can make their own cup of coffee.
Mm.
And I went, yeah, that sounds stupid to me. So I took the educational job and was fired in like 9 months. Thanks.
So should have taken the
what an idiot.
Job.
I didn't. Should've it just didn't make sense. It's like really one cup of coffee is all it makes.
Well, you've never really been a coffee guy.
I like it. I don't love it. But
if you were a coffee guy, you'd be like, hell yeah, go I get one? Yeah, I'm all over it. You know, just sell for a little bit, get the machine, get the hell out of there.
Well, you know, what the funny thing was kind of died on the vine, and I remember like 607 saying, I'm glad I didn't take that Keurig job because that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And now it's like everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, individuals have them. They were pitching it to businesses at the time. But now individuals have, I mean, I know 20 people that have a Keurig in their house. It's like, really? Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I wouldn't be with H.A. Fernandez.
True. Yeah. Yeah. That would, yeah. Great story, bro. Tell it again.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I got this call one day.
No, oh, yeah? Okay.
Jeez. Oh, man. We steal from the ticket way too much. That's a ticket thing.
Steal from the ticket. I don't know ticket.
I know, but I've stolen from the ticket so much that now it's worked into your vernacular.
Ah, son of a bitch.
It's a great story. Tell it again. I mean, that's a ticket.
Everybody says that, though.
I know.
But it's everywhere. I don't think the ticket has the exclusive on that one.
They don't. Ticket does have an exclusive on Regonk, but I have stolen Regonk.
Mm. Well, the other one stole our little, you know.
Yeah, the fan stole our Joe Wagner and what the hell?
It was a Minisode.
Oh, Minisode, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Those bastards.
Fucking
we
bastards.
We need to get on radio. We need to get on radio.
It's flattery. I'm going to look at it as flattery.
Okay, we can look at it that way. If you want to look at it that way. That's fine.
Who else talks about Jill Wagner? Nobody talks about Jill Wagner.
They did. She's got a lot of fans.
I know, but nobody talks about her on the radio. This company, this radio station did. Bastards.
Yeah, true, true, true. Oh, my God, look who it is.
Holy crap.
Living
legend
just walked
into the store.
Yes, he did.
The great Rick Poehler.
Rick Poehler, the man, the myth, the legend.
He was with AJ Fuente. What the hell am I talking about? He was with Arturo Fuente. AJ Fuente, yeah. I'm officially fired.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, maybe someone marry somebody from those two families. You have AJ Fuente somewhere eventually.
Exactly. Yeah. So, jeez.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's
awesome.
Good to see him out and about.
Yeah. Oh, and Mark's here. Mark's Lee's brother.
Yep. Yep. And he runs the Frisco store.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Really good guy. Good golfer, too.
That's what I hear.
I don't know if Lee's a good golfer, but I assume he is. But I know Mark is.
I don't know. Might run in the family.
I do know that I am not a good
golfer.
I am
not either.
I like to play it. I suck at it, though.
I like to play it. I like to smoke cigars and play it and drink things.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'll kick the ball if I get in the rough. I'm not going to lie.
Foot wedge.
Yeah.
Use the foot wedge.
Don't count that.
Nice foot wedge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Paul was actually on our show. He was, what, episode three or four? It was like
with
very early on.
El Baton.
Yeah, very early on
Newman
in the show.
Back then, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a fun episode. We got a lot of good information from
we did.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. It was a great episode.
I love that story about the guy that seasoned his humidor by throwing it in the bathtub.
Yeah.
<That's> awesome. And then he bitched because it fell apart. It's like, what are you throwing in a bathtub?
Dumbass. Yeah, don't ever throw your humidor in a bathtub. Just talk to your tobacconist. They'll help you through the process if they're a good tobacconist. And most of them will.
I would say you can look it up on YouTube, but I've seen some dummies on YouTube that really don't know what they're talking about. So
yeah.
Get a couple opinions.
If you're going to look at the YouTube, look at the thumbs up and thumbs down. Make sure there's not more thumbs down than thumbs up before you take that guy's advice, because there is a lot of dummies.
You know what pisses me off is we'll get a thumbs down, but they don't reply and tell us why they gave us the fucking thumbs down. They just give us a thumbs down.
Well,
and we don't get a lot.
Yeah.
We only get like one or two.
We know if it's on one of the episodes where the audio is reversed, it's probably the German guy.
Yeah, the German guy. Exactly. Which I appreciate that he gives us
I love that we
feedback.
Got a comment. Thank you. Thank you. Please comment. I'm going to put it wrong every time now so you can comment on it.
Exactly.
So we get a comment.
Exactly.
On a freaking episode.
Exactly. So what's going on with Brandon?
Oh, man. What isn't going on with Brandon?
Yeah.
So we are debt-free, which is nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we just refinanced our house.
I've got some debt. You want to take care of that? That'd be great.
I can help you through that. Financial planning.
I just want the money. I don't need
advice.
I don't need advice.
Can't do that.
Advice sucks. I don't listen to advice.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, but I've made it this far without listening to advice.
So that's a win, I guess, huh?
Exactly.
Is that what you're going for?
It's a win.
Wow.
It's a win-win.
No, that's kind of cool. We were considering selling the house and moving, but I think we're going to stay just because we like the house. We've been there so long. It's our home. And it's nice to have your kids have a home that is their home.
Exactly.
You know, so
yeah.
we did a refinance for a 10-year finance. We'll be paid off in 10 years instead of, 20.
Nice.
And it's still lower than our existing payment. So
there you go.
Our interest rate went down.
That's how you get out of debt right there.
Three.
That's how you get out of debt right there.
That's how you get out of debt right there.
Yeah.
Yep, that's how you do it. Well, we paid off all our
Or you win the lottery, and that gets you.
That would be fantastic. But you have to play the lottery to win, and I don't play the lottery.
You know, I quit playing it, and I don't know why. I still want to win it. I just need to play it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a buck.
It's a buck that just goes nowhere. I don't know.
It's for education in Texas, not. Remember, that's what they pitched it at when they started the lottery. Oh, it will help for educational.
What do they use it for? Do we even know?
Highways and stupid stuff. I mean, I heard the percentage that goes to education is like 8% or something.
I believe that. I believe that shit, yeah.
Well, salaries for the people that work for the lottery commission.
I'm sure. This is tasty, man.
It is.
I would definitely smoke this.
I'm going to go on a rant that I didn't expect to go for. Go for? Or go towards?
Go on.
Go on.
In,
yeah.
In
whatever.
The direction of that rant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go near it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Talking about money that's supposed to go to certain places and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Damn you, charities that don't get the money to the people that you're supposed to be trying to help.
Oh, there's so many of those, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And I won't mention a bunch, but the big ones.
You know the big ones, yeah.
Yeah, the big ones, and I do mean the big ones. Mm. I mean, it's like less than 10% goes to it's all salaries and administrative fees and all that bullshit. Bullshit. Find a charity that the money goes to the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And see, my thought on charity. And, I've got my brother going through cancer, so I've donated to small cancer things that I know the money's going to them.
Yeah.
But my ideal form of charity is to, hey, brother, you need some money? Here you go. That's my form of charity, to help out that way.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it charity in a negative way, you know, like I'm being condescending to him that he, oh, you're unique. No. Hey, this is how I want to help out. I don't want to give to some big organization. I want to give you the money and make sure you can take care of it and you can utilize it for what you need.
Yeah.
Buy your kids a meal, buy your, you know,
family,
whatever you
friends,
need.
Yeah, that exactly. type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my favorite form of charity, but.
I agree.
Yeah.
I like giving back too. I mean, we used to do this a lot. We haven't done it in a while. We probably need to start doing it again, but like on Thanksgivings and stuff, we'd go out to the soup kitchens and help out. You know, that was kind of cool. We'll just do that early in the morning and then still be able to have our regular dinner.
Yeah, that's cool.
Stuff like that. We did the Frisco has a resale shop, and you can go there and help them unload trucks and stuff and all that jazz.
Yeah.
But then Frisco opened a bigger, new fancy resale shop, and that kind of made me go,
yeah, that kind of sucks. I didn't mention the story, and I want to mention this. Jill Wagner has a friend that she grew up with in North Carolina who was on vacation in January or December. I can't remember.
Okay.
And he was trying to jump a chain fence, and he was apparently very athletic. He ran marathons and stuff like that. His foot got caught. He banged his head. He's paralyzed for life.
Oh, damn.
So she's been pitching, you know, help. And that's a cool charity because it's like a PayPal account, and it just goes directly to the family.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. That's a cool charity to do. And I can't remember the website or I'd tell you where to go, but I donated, you know, a little bit of money to that, you know, because that just sucks. You're on vacation and you wind up getting paralyzed for life on vacation.
Yeah,
that sucks.
That does suck. Yeah, that does suck.
We're doing something that I've probably done 150 times in my life. I've jumped over chain link fences a billion times in my life. That sucks.
Yeah, I don't think kids do that anymore. I guess maybe they do.
Well, no, because they play PS4
games. Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah. I didn't know the friggin' house.
Okay, this is so far out of the loop. I didn't realize there was a PS4 until the other day I saw an ad for it.
I forgot like, there was a PS4.
Like,
yeah,
a PS4?
I knew there was. Yeah. I knew there was because there was a game coming out that I was like, well, that looks kind of cool. I might play that and take it on the road with me and go play it in the hotels. Right. I'm like, it's PS4 crap. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm like, PS4?
Yeah.
I still have a PS2.
PS2.
I still have a PS2.
I still have a PS2. Yeah.
Crazy.
And I played some relatives of ours over in Houston. I gave them our old Super Nintendo. And they still have it, and it still works.
Wow.
I played it last time I was there, and I was like, this is awesome.
my youngest brother, this is about 5 years ago, was on a – he just broken up with a longtime girlfriend, so I guess he was bored. So he went on eBay, and he found the original Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
No, Atari. It was Atari. That's
okay.
The 2600. That's
2600, what it was. Old school, yeah.
And there was a video game that we used to play all the time on there called RBI. It was a baseball game.
Yeah.
And he found that, and he calls me like, dude, I've got RBI on Atari or whatever. Like, so coming over, ate pizza, drank till 4 in the morning. Played.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Was it crappy?
It was crappy as hell, but
so
it was fun.
Crappy.
But it was, it reminded me of back when I was 19. It was like awesome.
Yeah, we got, they had those things out for a while. You didn't really see them anymore, but they had those little, it was just like a joystick and you plugged it into your TV and it had like 12 or 13 games in it.
Yeah.
And we had one that had like Frogger and Dig Dug and a bunch of other stuff. We played through that. And we had another one that had Pole Position. I used to love Pole Position. That game sucks. That game is horrible.
Okay, so the next segment, 80s video games.
80s video games.
We've never done that.
We've never done that. We'll take a little break. We'll come back for the last third.
Let's go say hi to Rick Polar.
Perdomo 2005 Small Batch. All right, we're back for the last third of the Perdomo 2005 Small Batch over here at En Fuego in Rockwall.
Tasty cigar.
Tasty, tasty
like
cigar,
it.
Yeah. If you are into the mild to medium and you want something that's just going to
be... But it's gotten spicier towards the end, man.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Retrohale is really going to bite you here, but in a good way.
But some good aged tobacco, and it does have that aged tobacco taste. You know, how would you describe aged tobacco? It's kind of a little musty.
Yeah, a little musty.
But it's got that you know, there's a density to the flavor.
Yeah,
you know, there's a density to the flavor
it's
with aged tobacco.
It's a much more full, rich flavor.
Yeah, so you'd say it's definitely full-flavored, but medium body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
mild to medium body. Starts mild and works its way towards
And this short Bellicoso is $4.99? Not bad?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Well.
And if you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you want to get a little meet and greet with Nick Perdomo. Rewind. If you want to have a little meet and greet with Nick Perdomo, he's going to be here at the all three En Fuego shops on May 12th, 2015. For those that are listening later, Tuesday at the Frisco shop from 10 to noon, the same day at the Rockwall shop from 1 to 3:30, and then at the Murphy shop from 4 to 7.
Yes.
So he's going to be trucking.
Yeah.
He's going to be trucking.
He's going to be busy. I would come by and shake hands with him, buy some cigars. And,
yeah, definitely do that. Yeah, Nick's a cool dude. He's got a great set of hair. Almost as good as Todd Vance.
But close.
Pretty close. Probably higher. A little bit higher than Todd Vance's.
And a little blacker for some reason.
Gray and salt and peppery. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool dude, though.
Yeah, very cool dude. Very cool dude. And he's very active on Facebook. I like that.
Which is very cool, yeah. He's very he gets social media, which a lot of these guys, you know, they don't really get it. So, and it's the wave of the future, people. Get with it. Get with social media.
We're a small industry. We need to all be on each other's side and follow each other on Facebook and Twitter. And
we don't
Instagram.
Get to advertise on television and stuff, so you know, this is your advertisement, and most of it's free.
Yeah.
So use it.
I know what we do is free, basically.
Yeah, very much so,
I mean, we get a cigar. From time to time.
We do it because we love doing it. It's fun. We have conversations all the time anyway. This is just a way
for we're going
to
sit around talking anyway. Might as well do it on a microphone.
And be able to listen to it later when we're 80 and go, I did that back in the day.
You remember that day?
It'd just be like a chip you put in your head.
Yeah.
Like, I got Randy in my head.
Yeah, you don't want to be in Randy's head. I'll tell you that. I'm there all the time and it sucks. Okay, 80s video games. Okay, I remember when my mom and dad got us some. This was like, our parents would do certain things at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get certain packages that would say from mom and dad, and we'd get certain packages that said from Santa Claus.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And this one was to all three of us, and we're all like, what is this? You know, we were dying to know what this present was.
Mm.
And it was the Atari 2600. And we had three games. We had Pitfall Harry. remember that one?
Yep.
What was the hamburger one?
Burger Time.
Burger Time, yeah.
Yep.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
And we played the crap out of those games. So what were some of your favorite 80s video games?
Oh, man. We did the same thing with the Santa Claus and everything. My parents did it a little bit different, and I did it with my kids. And I kind of don't like the way they did it, but we made it a tradition anyway. So we'd have the wrapped gifts, which were from us to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then the already open gifts were from Santa, because Santa doesn't have time to wrap stuff.
Right.
That was the theory. Yeah, so there was the 2600 right there. I'm like, 2600, boo! You know?
Right.
And we got the – it was – I mean – we had Space Invaders, or whatever they called it. I guess it was Space Invaders.
Space Invaders.
Pac-Man, which was the worst Pac-Man.
Yes.
He didn't even move. He just kind of went in a square like this.
Yeah.
And then Berserk. I played Berserk like crazy. And then I had like a Dungeons & Dragons game that I played a lot.
Yeah.
And the Dungeons & Dragons game is actually a really bad game.
Mm-hmm.
But I just played it because there was so much variety in it. It was like there was a different dungeon and different monsters, and you got to fight those. And then a different dungeon and different monsters, and you fight those. And you know, so I liked that one. But I had some sports games too, and then you get into 2600 forever, and then what was after the 2600?
I got an Intellivision.
I always wanted Intellivision.
I had a friend. It was at the time. It sucks now.
Yeah,
but at the time, it was the most realistic football game I'd ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to play the. I'd go over to my friend's house just to play.
So the Intellivision was graphically, it was better than the Atari, but the controller was retarded because it looked like a cell phone.
Yeah.
It had a little dial that you turned at the bottom. It had some buttons on the sides, and you put this little sleeve in there. It was like a color-coded sleeve, and if you took that sleeve off, it looked like a phone. It was like numbers 1 through 5 and then a couple little weird things.
Gotcha.
So you put that sleeve in there for each game, and then you played from that sleeve. So if you wanted to like do a hit...
Yes, I do remember that now.
If you were going to hit, you could actually use that circle to do a curve. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to hit a curveball, and you do a curveball, and I want it to go that way, so it would go that way, you know? And then you tell, if you were playing the outfield, you'd be like, this guy is, you know... You push the second base guy to catch it, and then you turn the dial, and the guy would go catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So it took a little bit of figuring out.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I mean, I don't know why they thought that was a good idea, because none of the video games at the arcade were like that. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just trying to be unique, I guess. And the problem with that was, I mean, the games looked great. You learned how to play them. It was a little curve. You learned how to play them, though.
Right.
And I had Pitfall on that, and it looked fantastic. It looked almost like the real game. But the problem was that those little plastic sheets that you put in there, because kids mash buttons, right?
Yeah.
You mash the shit out of those buttons.
Yeah.
You break that sleeve, and then you're cutting your fingers on the damn thing.
Yeah.
So it had tape on it. You know, you try, take it out, put some tape on it, play it again, bust it again, put some more tape. It was a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah. So, I just hate it when the joysticks would get stuck, and you'd be like, and it always gets stuck at the wrong time, you know?
Exactly, yeah. So my dad and I were always, he was always a take-apart-stuff-and-fix-it guy, and he would be the guy that would fix the joysticks in the neighborhood. So they would bring them to us. My dad figured out that little, there was like, at the bottom of the joystick, there was like a little rubber part that was like, you know, it was like a gear shift type thing.
Right.
And you could actually lift that out from under there and get in there and spray out the, you know, the mechanism and stuff. Cause my dad worked for 3M at the time, so he had canned air, which no one had.
Right.
That was, you know, only a corporate thing. You couldn't go buy a can of Planet Air, you know.
Yeah. And now you get like six of them for like $2.
Exactly. So he'd spray it out. We'd go in there and fix stuff, clean it out with Q-tips. I'd clean it out with a Q-tip with some, you know, alcohol and leave it back up and put it back together. And, you know, I was like, you should charge for this. He's like, nah, whatever. It's fun, you know. So that's what we do on Saturday mornings. We'd have a couple of, you know, joysticks. We'd fix them, watch cartoons, and then we'd play a bunch of play them to make sure they worked and then give them back to my friends.
That's funny.
So that's what we used to do.
Well, remember with the Nintendo, that was the first one that I remember anyway that had the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just using the joystick with Atari, and then it took me a while to figure out Nintendo with the different arrows. Because especially on baseball, you know, you run the bases, you go up to go this way, and back to go to second, and this one to go to third, and this one to go to home, and it was like, took me forever to figure that out, but it was fun.
So they got, as the graphics got better, they got more complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, they were still a blast. And you talk about, like, you know, parents versus grandparents, and so the 2600 was my parents' gift to me for Christmas, and the next year it was it's my birthday, like maybe 7 months later in July was the Intellivision that my grandfather gave me just to show up my dad, basically.
Right.
You know? He's like, this one's better. Uh-huh. Happy birthday. And I'm like, yay, Nintendo. Or the Atari goes on the wayside.
Nice.
And play nothing but Intellivision. My dad was like, "Arr."
Okay, well, I got, what did I get? What? Sega Genesis. That was the one before PlayStation.
Yep.
And,
Sega
Genesis, the big one. Yeah, but it was Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that. And I was in my early 20s at this point.
Yeah.
And I remember I got it at one of those rent-to-own places.
Okay.
Like, I don't know,
Rent-A-Center
like or something
or whatever,
like that. Yeah,
something like that,
Rent-A-Center. And it was like $380, but it was only going to be like $12 a week. So I thought, oh, this will be fun. I'll go get this thing for $12 a week. And I got Madden. I got the first time I ever got Madden. And confused the hell out of me. Because you'd have A, B, and C for your receivers, and you'd have to, which one is A, B? And C. But my quarterback's getting sacked because you're sitting there going, which one is A?
Right. Right.
It's like, yeah. But so one day I got really proficient, I thought, at it.
Mm.
Well, my youngest brother, the one I mentioned that got the Atari and everything, he could pick up a game, at least at this point.
Yeah.
He'd be the first time he ever played a game, and he'd kick your ass.
Yeah.
Well, I got really good at Madden.
Mm-hmm.
So I invite my brother over. Hey, play Madden. He goes, I never played it. I'm like, he goes, you're going to kick my ass. I'm like, I hope. That's the plan.
Yeah.
He beat me like 42-7.
Jeez.
He'd never even played it before. I'm like, you bastard.
So did you do, like, how long did you go in the video game thing, and how long did you do
it? Huge on it throughout my teens. Loved it, you know. But I was also a play outside kind of guy. I mean, you give me an Atari baseball game, I'd love it. I'd play the crap out of it. But tell me to go outside and play baseball, and I'd much rather do that. I'd like to.
Yeah,
But probably through mid-90s, probably when I gave up on it.
Yeah.
And then like in 03, 02, 02 or 03, whatever, Tiger Woods 03 came out. My wife bought me PlayStation.
Okay.
And got me Tiger Woods 03. And I don't even play. I still have it.
Yeah.
And I tried to play it the other day, and I still shoot 13 under. It's still, like, way too easy.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off. I wanted it to be harder.
Yeah. Oh, it got harder. It definitely got harder
as
it went along.
Well, the graphics got better, and it got... But I just quit. I didn't like it. I wanted to play 03, but I just wanted 03 to be tougher.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of had my time with video games. I was pretty much going every... After that, I was addicted, and...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still played outside all the time, and it was, you know... That was what we did in the evenings, was we go and play video games at friends' houses or my house or whatever, you know, and couldn't play outside anymore. That's what you did. Mm-hmm. Transition into that.
Yeah.
But I went from the Atari 2600 to the Intellivision 2 to the Nintendo.
Well, I forgot that they had Intellivision 2.
To the Nintendo, to the Super. Then there was the Atari 5200.
Yes.
Which I never got, but friends had it.
I never had it.
And then I got the, what was that one after that? 5200, Intellivision 2. There was the Nintendo.
Nintendo 64.
And then the Nintendo... there was a Nintendo, then the Super Nintendo, then the Nintendo 64.
That's right. Yeah.
And I had every single one of those.
Yeah.
And at some point, whatever, I would, you know, this GameStop kind of came into play. You trade those in, get the new thing, trade those in, get the new thing.
Yeah.
Just imagine if we'd kept all that crap now.
Oh,
how
much
that'd
be
worth.
Did you ever have the Sega Genesis?
I did, I had the Sega Genesis, and I had the original PlayStation. I killed the original PlayStation the day we got it. I had friends that worked at, it was Electronic Boutique at the time. It was before GameStop. And they had one put aside for me, and I went and got it. Got into this. People were in line. They were pissed because I walked in with one of the employees, got mine, and walked out. And they were like, oh, he works here. I'm like, I don't work. Went home, fired it up, and we took the day off of work, and we played for almost 24 hours straight.
Jeez.
Until it was like 3 or 4 in the morning, and it just jammed up. It just locked up and started smoking. I'm like, oh, crap. My wife was like, ah.
Jeez. Well,
we were dating at the time. Just thought that was hilarious.
That's awesome. It was probably still Nintendo, but Super Tecmo Bowl. There was
Tecmo
Bowl.
Super, yeah, Tecmo
and
Bowl.
Then
yeah.
Super Tecmo Bowl. And
Tecmo Bowl was the jam.
It was.
Before Madden and everything came out.
Yeah, I still to this day would probably rather play Super Tecmo Bowl than Madden. Yeah. And so I had 4 days off in a row, and I was living with my cousin at the time. And I've always had problems sleeping, you know that.
Yeah.
So I knew he had a Valium prescription.
Oh, no.
And I said to him, I'm like, man, can I have some Valium? I'm off for 4 days, man. I just want to sleep for 4 days. He's like, yeah. Sure, he gives me four of them. Mm-hmm. But he didn't tell me how many to take or anything. So I took one, started playing Tecmo Bowl. It's like 4:30 in the morning. I'm still up playing Tecmo Bowl. I'm like, why isn't that Valium kicked in? That's kind of stupid. So one that gave me four. Maybe I'm supposed to take two at a time. So I took another one. It's like noon. I'm still playing Tecmo Bowl.
Jeez.
I take the other two.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I stayed up four straight days. I never slept a wink for four fucking days.
What the hell?
Because sometimes drugs have the opposite effect on me.
Oh,
and this was
no.
almost like I took speed instead of Valium. I stayed up for four straight days playing Tecmo Bowl.
Did you eat
my
at least?
My thumbs were bleeding. The next day I was trying to write. When I finally had to go back to work, I tried to write something. I couldn't hold a pen. It hurt so bad from my thumbs playing.
Yeah, I used to call that Nintendo thumb. Yeah, yeah. Nintendo thumb. You just couldn't do shit because your thumbs were just jammed. I had a friend of mine that actually used to play, this is when you knew he was serious. Uh-huh. He'd put on, he had the little rubber things you'd change pages
and
stuff.
Yeah.
He'd put that on. And
oh, really?
Like,
damn, I wish that I thought of that.
Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, that's why I don't get Nintendo thumb. I'm like, kind of a cool idea. I went and got one of my mom's thimbles. That didn't work. Just made it hurt worse.
Yeah, I stayed up four straight days on Valium.
Wow.
On Valium. Four straight days. Yeah, so that backfired on me pretty
bad. That backfired
bad.
On you bad, man. That was bad.
I don't know why sometimes that does that.
Yeah.
Like I'll wrap myself out.
Caffeine tends to have a adverse effect on me, too. It makes me sleepy if I drink
sometimes
it at night.
Sometimes it does.
It just makes me sleepy.
Yeah, it used to do that to me. Now I've gotten older and now it keeps me awake. But, yeah, in my 20s, I'd drink coffee from 6 to 9 constantly and fall right asleep, not have any problem with it. But
yeah.
Now if I drink it yesterday, I can't sleep for 2 days.
You said you were going to rat yourself out about what?
Well, I decided not to.
Oh, okay. Oh, you decided not to. Okay.
Okay. I tried one illegal drug once.
Okay.
That is supposed to get you geared up and get you pumped and you're supposed to be on this ultimate high and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't no more do this illegal drug.
Yeah.
Within 30 seconds, I'm bawling. I mean, I'm crying. Nobody likes me. This life sucks, man.
Like, this was a long time ago.
Yeah,
right?
It was at a party. I'm in my early 20s.
Say that.
No, and everyone's around me is like all pumped up on this thing, and I'm like, yes. Yeah, sometimes
it doesn't.
It does the opposite to me.
That's stuff. You got some weird body chemistry. Yeah, that's all it's telling you right there.
Weird.
Yeah.
Immediately started crying.
Wow.
It was weird.
Jeez.
So I never did that again. Mm-hmm. I never did that drug again, ever.
I would not, yeah. I would definitely put that in the no category.
Matter of fact, I was at a party a couple of weeks later with one of the friends that had been at the party where I did that, and they were breaking the stuff out for everyone to do, and this the girl, she's like, he doesn't get any of that. And I'm like, no, I don't want any.
He's not fun on that.
He cries.
Like a little girl.
I did, man. It was like,
that's horrible. That's horrible.
Yeah, so Valium and this other thing.
No bueno. Yeah, no bueno for you. Yeah. All right, so where can they find us, Randy?
We are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I am at RandyRankin43 on Twitter, AJFRandy on Instagram.
I am at CaptainFunkyPants on Twitter and PDR_Brandon on Instagram. And don't forget, Perdomo event, meet and greet at Enfuego, May 12th, 2015. Tuesday at Frisco from 10 to 12, Rockwall from 1 to 3:30, and Murphy from 4 to 7. Come meet a legend.
Yes, exactly.
And I want to thank again Lee at Enfuego for letting us sit here and wax poetic about whatever BS
silly
we
stuff,
decide to talk about and smoke one of these lovely Perdomos. So check out the Perdomo 2005 Small Batch Series. It's tasty and inexpensive, and it probably will be the best cigar you smoked that day.
Yeah, it's a good cigar. Yeah, you go to Calypso Cigar Review on Facebook and give us a like there.
Yep. And don't forget to comment. We love those comments, guys. Give us Absolutely. Those comments. And the audio will be reversed on this for my German friend, so you can comment.
Exactly. So you can rip us a new one. Exactly.
As always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.